Again, good morning, and thanks for being part of Echo Church Online and for inviting us into your home. The title of today's message is Even Now. Two simple words, but they'll have a huge impact on your life if you learn to say them in faith going forward from this day. Tell someone around you, type it online. Come on, it's really short. As many of you as possible, write it, say it. Even now. Come on, say it aloud or type it online. Even now. We're learning today about even now faith. When hope seems foolish, when I have more questions than answers, when I feel like God is late, when I don't understand why things are going the way they are, when I walk through valleys of grief, when it feels like my life is in a constant holding pattern, even now I will believe. Even now, my faith will grow. Even now, hope is blossoming. Even now, when I can't see the ending of the story, I believe that my God is for me and working on my behalf. You know, honestly, I cannot wait to dive into today's message with you. It's the right scripture for our season of life. As we get started, let me highlight just a couple of things. First, in just a couple of weeks, we'll begin a brand new series called The New Normal. Things aren't going back to normal, and perhaps that's a good thing. We'll discover how to leverage this current season to develop new and healthy rhythms. So be on the lookout for that series coming soon. Next Sunday, we'll actually be having a special guest speaker. It's a huge honor to have him sharing with us, and I promise you do not want to miss it. So make sure you join us next Sunday. As we get started, if you need prayer or if you would like to get connected, simply text STEPS to 94253 or click on the link in the pinned comment on Facebook and on YouTube. I also want to ask you to not just watch today, but to engage online. When you hit the like button, when you comment, you're helping others engage that are watching right now. I also want to encourage you to hit the share button. You know, you never know what someone in your sphere of influence is going through. Your simple share could be the miracle that they have been looking for. So even now, as we begin the message, hit that share button and help your friends and family find hope. I want to keep celebrating so many of you that are giving faithfully during this difficult time. There's a lot happening financially in America right now, which means needs are on the rise, yet your continued generosity is allowing us to come alongside those that are hurting, whether it's battling domestic violence, whether it's curbing homelessness or even hunger. You are making a difference right here locally. So thank you, Echo Church family. Today is part 7 of our series, God of Miracles. We're learning from the 7 miracles of Jesus highlighted in John's Gospel. He wants us to not only learn about Jesus, but discover how to live fully in Jesus. Once we discover who He is and what He does, John wants our belief to drive our living. I've loved this series, and I hope you have as well. As we close out the series today, John has saved the best for last. He's caused a man lame for 38 years to get up and walk. Jesus fed 20,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He made the white caps of the waves His own red carpet, and He's caused the blind to see. As amazing as each of these are, they'll all take a back seat to the 7th miracle. In John chapter 10, Jesus pulls back the curtain for us as to His purpose and mission. He's fighting for us. Jesus has waged war on death and hell. He says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The thief, Jesus says, has one goal, to take you out. All the evil, destruction, and decay in this world, that's his handiwork. Yet Jesus says, "My aim is the opposite. I was the one that spoke creation into being. I'm the life that upholds creation still." And you're about to see Jesus go toe to toe with the devil, and it won't even be a fair fight. Jesus says, I've come to give life and to give it to the fullest. In John 10, he says it. In John 11, he shows it. Like a movie that gives you a glimpse of what's coming and then rewinds to give you context, we'll start today's miracle in the middle of the story and then we'll back up. John writes it like this in chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Hey, would you join me in praying as we learn from God's word today? Father, I know that the miracle we encounter today is a game changer for those that lean in. So God, I ask that you help us do just that. Help us to focus solely on you for a little while. We pray that having encountered your word and your presence, that will never be the same. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more time, tell someone around you or just say it out loud, even now. So here we are in the middle of the story. We learn that a man named Lazarus has died, and his sister Martha rushes to meet Jesus as he shows up late to the scene. And she has amazing faith, doesn't she? She looks back and says, if you had been here, you wouldn't have let this happen. I know that you could have stopped him from dying. But she doesn't stop there. And if you're at all familiar with Jesus, the Bible, or even just Christianity, you're kind of at a disadvantage reading the story because you know the Easter story. But Martha doesn't have that privilege. At this point in history, death is undefeated. Yet that doesn't stop her from displaying audacious, bold, perhaps unmatched faith. Now, I've got to hit the pause button for just a second to give you a little bit of context. As you read the whole story, you learn that Jesus arrives 4 days later after Lazarus has already died. Jewish teaching encouraged 7 days of deep mourning, followed by 30 days of light mourning. So Jesus shows up in the midst of their deepest sorrow. We even learn that as Jesus sees all the mourners, he himself is moved to tears. He hurts for his friends. Moreover, death was never his plan. This story reminds us that God is with us fully when we feel sorrow most deeply. And here we are, 4 days after her brother dies. Martha says something remarkable. Did you see our two words in the story? Even now. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. I know 4 days have passed, but even now, you can make him live. Even now, I have faith. I believe that you can bring dead things to life. No one has ever seen a dead person brought to life, yet she believes, even now, nothing is impossible for you, Jesus. Today, I will talk about even now faith. Even now, faith is audacious. It's defiant in the face of obstacles. It's bold in how it lives. It isn't tossed and moved by circumstances. Even now, faith is tough and enduring. As we look at more of the story, I want us to see 3 things that come from even now faith. To do that, let's back up to the beginning of the story. It starts this way. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister, Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Here's the first thing I want us to see today. Even now, faith holds firm when everything else falls apart. Come on, there are days when it feels like all hell has broken loose over your life. seasons of life when nothing suggests that faith is a rational response. Mary and Martha are desperate, and they know Jesus can heal him before he dies. And we learn from this story that Jesus deeply loves the sisters and their brother. They are close friends. But did you see what John said? Jesus hears about it, and instead of immediately rushing to get to him, he stays two more days. Two more days. Jesus wakes, eats breakfast, spends time with people, has dinner, and goes to bed twice, all while Mary and Martha begin to grieve the passing of their brother. It seems cold and callous, like God doesn't even care. But we know that isn't true because it already refers to Lazarus as the one you love. This is a close friend. So what in the world is going on? Jesus already gives us the answer. This happens so that God's Son may be glorified. Jesus could have rushed to his side and healed him, just like the blind man and the lame man. Jesus could have healed him from a distance, just like with the 20-mile miracle. But then we wouldn't have been able to see Jesus as the grave robber. Before Jesus, death had never lost. Before Jesus, death has the final word. Jesus has a much bigger story that he wants to unveil. But for it to unfold, everyone in the story will have to wait. If you feel like you're in a holding pattern or a waiting season right now, you might be on the verge of a breakthrough. And what I love about Martha is that she's been waiting for 4 days, but her faith hasn't wavered. She's never seen someone bring a dead person to life, but she recognizes that Jesus isn't just someone. He's the one. Jesus arrives 4 days after death, and her response, even now. How can she have such assurance? Even now, faith holds firm when everything else falls apart. It recognizes who's over it all. It doesn't fall apart because it knows who holds it all together. The wise man Solomon said it like this: "The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe." You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to know the one who does. You don't have to have the power to calm the storm. You've just got to stay with Jesus. Those that run to him are safe. Later in John chapter 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We aren't designed to do this on our own. We are made to find our life in relationship with God. If your heart is heavy, if your emotions are running wild, Martha teaches us even now faith. Don't give up. Don't run away. Just run to Jesus. Tell him, "I'm angry. I'm scared. I'm alone. I'm frustrated. I'm hurting. But even now, I believe that you're with me. You're working all things out. Your plan is bigger than mine. Your sight is higher than mine. Even now, while everything's falling apart, I'm holding firm to you." When our kids were toddlers and we'd be somewhere like Disneyland watching a parade go by, I can remember each of my kids asking me to lift them up so that they could see. Everyone is shoving and squeezing to get to the front, and smaller kids kind of get pushed back and can't see. I'd pick them up and I'd kind of hold them, or I'd place them on my shoulder so they could see what I was seeing. When we hold firm to God in the midst of heartache, we're doing the same thing. "God, I need you to raise me up. I can't see what you see, so I'm holding on tight to you." Here's number two. Even now, faith lives in resurrection power. Now, I realize that sounds super Christianese and cliche, so hang with me for a minute and let me explain what I'm trying to say. But first, let's go back to where we began in the story. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is helping Martha realize that Jesus won't merely be the one who can resurrect Lazarus, which is incredible enough, but that he is the resurrection and the life. He doesn't just cause the resurrection, he is the embodiment of dead things coming to life. He is the eternal life itself. All right, hang with me here. This is so important. A lot of times pastors will preach on this story for Easter Sunday because the raising of Lazarus is a foreshadowing of Jesus rising from the dead. Jesus raises Lazarus and then Jesus raises himself. It's true, but I want you to see one more thing. This is also a foreshadowing of your resurrection. God brings the dead to life in you as well. The thief means to steal, kill, and destroy you, but as a follower of Jesus, the resurrection and the life is in you. So, you and I can live today in light of the resurrection, but you don't just have to live in the rear view, you can also look ahead. Yes, in this world there is trouble, there is hurt, there is darkness, but Jesus has already overcome. So we can also look ahead with even now faith and realize that the eternal life we'll inherit fully someday is already alive in us. I can live fully now, today. Death and sin and pain and loneliness and hurt and shame and fear, they can't live in me because the resurrection of Jesus has already made its home in my life. It's why Paul declares this with his whole being. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You can say that today. I know there is a pandemic going on, but death, you've been swallowed up in victory. I know I'm in the waiting season, but death, where is your victory? I know I'm walking through some stuff, but death, where is your sting? You don't own me. You don't have the final word. The resurrection and the life have come alive in me. You're going to have some days when it feels like the thief is winning, but keep on remembering, even now faith lives in resurrection power. You don't have to live in the fear of death because you know life is your destiny. You don't have to live beneath the weight of a fallen and broken world. The resurrected one has made a home inside of your heart. Hope, life, love, truth, joy, peace. These are all present and available to you now. Here's number three. Even now faith calls dead things to life. As a follower of Jesus and a pastor, if there's one area of our faith that I consistently see most believers leave untapped, it's in the area of authority. Let me remind you of what Jesus does, and then let me show you what Jesus says about you. Let's close out the story in John 11. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen, and a cloth was around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." When Jesus spoke at the beginning of time, creation came into being. He is the Word of God. When he speaks, creation moves. Jesus calls aloud, "Lazarus, come out." Jesus speaks to a dead man, "Come back to life," and Lazarus, wrapped up like a mummy, dead for 4 days, suddenly has oxygen flood his lungs. Blood begins pumping in his heart. He has been resurrected. Death was defeated. It had to bow to the authority of Jesus. That's what Jesus did. Now let me tell you what he says about you, just 3 chapters later. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." As a follower of Jesus, you have authority to speak life. Now, this doesn't mean you can say whatever you want and God grants it. No, not even close. No, it has to be in the will of God for the glory of God. But when it is in God's will and it is for God's glory, it's game on. Your prayers are powerful. Your words speak life and faith into the people around you. Let's have even now faith that holds firm when things are falling apart, that lives today even in hardship and full view of resurrection power. And let's realize that we have authority to call dead things to life. In Christian tradition, 49 days after Easter Sunday is called Pentecost Sunday. It represented the day when the Holy Spirit enlivened the early church. There's a festival being celebrated in the city, so there are people from all over who speak different languages. The followers of Jesus are huddled up and locked in a room praying, unsure of what happens next, when suddenly the Holy Spirit rushes in with a mighty wind and flames of fire rest on their heads. It's an unbelievable scene. Immediately, they go from hiding away in prayer and they rush into the streets, proclaiming the good news of Jesus in the languages of the foreigners visiting. The local people aren't sure what to do. They think they're drunk. But the foreigners say, "We can understand them perfectly in our own language, and they're telling us about this man named Jesus." Then, here's my favorite part. You know Peter, the guy that denied Jesus to a little girl when Jesus was about to be crucified? It says Peter steps forward in the middle of this massive crowd. He motions for them to be quiet, to settle down, and then he shouts aloud, telling them all about Jesus. And thousands place their faith in Jesus, going from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. Peter was stepping into the authority he has in Jesus, filled up with the strength of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what today is? It's 49 days after Easter. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and I'm proclaiming over us that it's time to come alive. You've been stuck and frustrated and afraid, and it's time to come out of the tomb. When Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out," he's saying your name too. You, come out of the tomb. It's time. And not only this, but you also have authority. When you pray for your friends and family and your neighbors, your prayers change things. So let's keep praying for our city. Your faith calls things that are not yet into being. So let's believe our best days are ahead and not behind. Let's believe the goodness and mercy of God are chasing us down, that God's a strong tower and all who run to Him are safe. God's got us, so let's boldly and courageously live to help others find life in Jesus. Now that's a good place right there to say amen or write it online. If you receive it, say, "God, I'm coming out of my tomb and I'm rising to life in you. I'm walking in resurrection power. Your life is in me, and my faith will hold even when it feels like everything else is breaking loose." In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, as we close, I want to speak directly to a group of folks who may not be walking with Jesus right now. First, I'm honored to have you join us today. Perhaps you've thought about following Jesus, but you've never made a commitment. For someone else, you used to be close to God, but perhaps you've kind of fallen away. I want to point out one more part of the story. When Jesus is talking with Martha, he asks her a question, and her answer is life-altering. Let me show it to you. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Jesus says that if you believe in Him, though your body die, your soul will live on forever. Then Jesus asks Martha, "Do you believe?" To two words changed her life forever. Yes, Lord. I remember back in the fall of 2015, I had the amazing privilege of speaking at my uncle's funeral, and I shared this passage. He had made a faith decision to say yes to Jesus, and I shared with everyone that day that they too could place their faith in Christ. I had no idea that day that in time, I'd get the privilege of baptizing five people that heard that message. Perhaps today is your day to move from death to life, to allow the grace of Jesus to take away your shame and your guilt, and to receive forgiveness for your past, to become spiritually alive. I want to invite you to pray with me to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If God is speaking to you today, you know that this is you. You know that today is your day. You're ready to give your life to Jesus. Pray with me right now, out loud or in your heart. Would you pray with me right now? Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose up from the dead to make me alive. Today, I choose to follow you. Guide me to follow you my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible says that all of heaven just rejoiced over you. And you know what? So do we as a church family. If you prayed that prayer with me just now, we want to celebrate that with you. We want to help you take your first faith steps. Would you do something? Would you please text the word steps to 94253 and let us know of your faith step. In a moment, we're going to worship the powerful name of Jesus. Before we do that, let me remind the Echo Kids families out there that we have a special service on YouTube for Uptown and Midtown kids. That's elementary and preschool. Also, if you'd like to give online, you can do so at echochurch.cc or on the echochurch.cc app. Sign-ups for summer picnics will begin soon. Last year, we called them summer dinner parties. They'll be a little bit different this year. If you're interested in hosting a backyard summer picnic, will you please text the word STEPS to 94253 and mark in the comments that you'd like to be a host. Picnics can be pitch-ins or they can be BYOP style, meaning bring your own picnic. Either way will work. First, we need to lock in host homes, so please text STEPS to 94253 and let us know that you would like to host one. Also, mark your calendars for July 11th, which is our annual serve day. Details are beginning to formulate now for what I think could be the best summer serve day ever. Signups and details will be coming soon, but at this point, please save the date. That's serve day on Saturday, July 11th. Hey, we're so honored to spend Sunday with you. Follow Jesus with your whole life this week. Know that you're not alone. We are all in this together. As we trust God with our lives, God is faithful to build us up. Remember this week to live from the resurrection power inside of you. Speak life and encouragement over your home and those around you. Let's be God's hope to a world desperately searching. Come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time together today. Use it to draw us close and send us to be your love to others this week. Use our tithes and offerings that others may experience the hope that's inside of us. We worship you, God. You alone have our focus this week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Come on, everybody say it together. Amen.